Good to see you all here on Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Don't forget to call Dad if you can.
Nowadays, I guess it's a text message, isn't it? But still, I got my text messages this morning from my children, so. John chapter 14, we're going to begin in verse 18. Are you going to make it? Are you going to make it? Well, you got to know what it is before you answer. I think some of you probably know what I'm talking about, but are you going to make it? Back in the 1800s, there were a number of folks that desired to travel to the West Coast if they would leave their homes in the East, and they would go down the Oregon Trail and either go into maybe Oregon or Northern California or some place like that, and they could have inexpensive or free land, opportunities, and they looked for a better life. And lots of people left from, usually from St. Louis or that part of the country, in a wagon, knowing that they had about a three or four month journey to take. And many of them walked because the wagons were mostly meant to carry the goods that they needed. They had to carry their food, and they had to carry a certain amount of water, food for their animals. And then people would take other things. They literally made a piano that was designed to fit in a wagon. And I've seen one. There's one in a bank up in Utah that I saw one time, and it's a certain size piano shaped a certain way. I'm thinking if I'm going to go to Oregon, there might be some more important things to take than a piano. If you were to go down the Oregon Trail during those days, as you began to leave from Missouri, and it was a very well-defined route, almost everyone went the same way, you wouldn't see much at first, and then you'd begin to see some things discarded along the sides of the trail. And then before long, you'd start to see maybe the carcass of an animal that had died, or some grave sites and some crosses planted in the ground for people that had died. And the further you went, the more things you would find discarded, almost to the point to where you could have left with nothing except for food and water and picked up anything you needed along the way. And then there were a lot of people that just didn't make it. They stopped along the way. They died along the way. They turned around and went back. I think you would have to agree with me, if you were going to take that journey, you want to be prepared. Amen? Now, the Gospel of John, we're in chapter 14, and this is a special part of John. The beginning of John introduces us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us in chapter 1 that he was in the beginning. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, the Word, God, became flesh and dwelt among us. You may remember back in Matthew that one of the names given to Christ was the name Emmanuel. And then Matthew explains, it means God with us. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, of the Lord Jesus Christ, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He is not created. He's not one of many gods. He's not a lesser God. He didn't become God. He is co-equal in every regard with God the Father. We believe in what's called the eternal sonship of Christ. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that God said, let us make man in our own image. So you learn who God is early in John, and then John chapter 3 comes along, and John chapter 3 says, if we'll believe on him in verse 16, that he'll give us eternal life. Have you believed on him? The Bible says this, no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. If you received eternal life, and then you lost it 20 years later, it wasn't very eternal, was it? If you receive everlasting and the word eternal, it's the same thing. If you received that and then you lost it, it wasn't really everlasting, was it? So if he says eternal life, he means eternal life. Folks, you can't lose your salvation. The Bible says that. I know that. You know that. The devil knows that. God knows that. So, is that all there is to it? Somebody said one time to me, in so many words, Pastor, I'm going to join a bad church, but I won't lose my salvation. But there are Christians that think that way. I can do what I want to do. I'm not going to lose my salvation. Not going to make it. Are you going to make it? You know what the Bible says God expects of us? The Bible says that we should be found faithful. Now, you can't be perfect. You cannot be sinless. Although the Bible says that we should, Peter said, be ye holy, for God said, I am holy, be ye holy. It's our responsibility to live a godly life. But you will never cease from sin. You will sin. And the Bible says, if we sin, we have an advocate with God the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous, is our advocate. And he died for our sins. And then the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we can be right with God, even though we cannot live a perfect life. But are you going to make it? You see, as you come to the last part of John, the first part teaches us who Christ is and how to be saved. The last part teaches us how to make it, how to last until we step into eternity. Because I've seen a lot of people that have fallen out by the wayside. It's almost frightful when you consider the statistics. I know some of you hate Facebook. Some of you like Facebook. I don't want to start a church split over Facebook. It has its place. And I'm just going to leave it at that, okay? If you use Facebook, you'll still go to heaven. It's all right, okay? But what discourages me is when I get on Facebook and I see people that used to go to church and now they don't. I see people that used to have a standard that they would have some things they would do and some things they wouldn't do, and now they just do anything. And now they look like anything and they listen to anything and they, you know, take anything. And it's discouraging to me to see people that used to be on the trail, and now they've fallen out. Now they're not making it. And there's a lot of them. And I don't want to be one of them. And you don't want to be one of them either. Because we're going to stand before the Lord one day, and you remember the song just now said, we talked about that, he's going to say, well done to some. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Faithful. That means you didn't quit. Now, you can say, and I can say, and all those people on the way to Oregon could say, we're going to make it. We're going to go all the way. I'm going to be faithful to God until I die. I'm going to stay in church. I'm going to be a good servant of God, and I'm going to stay faithful until I die. You can say that. But if you're not prepared, if you don't have what you need, you're not going to make it. Do you think God wants us to make it? That's why these verses are in the Bible. That's why, starting in John chapter 14, a little before that really, but certainly John chapter 14, there are several chapters that are ready to equip us to make it. I'm going to show you some things that you need to take with you, that you need to have in order to make it. And if you're not making it, or if you're weak, or you're about to fall out, these might be some things that you might try to build up in your life. You say, oh, Pastor, I'll make it. I'm not worried about it. How many people said that and didn't make it? Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to begin in verse 18, read down through verse 27, and we'll have a word of prayer. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 18. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples and to us. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we need your help today as we desire to be faithful to you until you call us home or until the Lord returns. And Lord, if we're not careful, our mind strays and we think of folks that have fallen out along the way. We don't see them anymore. We don't know what they're up to. We don't know if they're even in a church, probably not. And Lord, we don't want to focus on that. We want to focus on you today and on the fact that you've called us to be faithful and you've equipped us to be faithful. And if we will, we can take these things that you want us to have so that we can make it to the end. God, I pray for folks here today that are not saved, that they would understand that the first thing they need most of all is the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then, Lord, I pray today that those of us that are saved, that we would understand some things that would help us along the way, day by day, until we're called home. Please be with folks that can't be with us, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. When I was younger, my kids had this video game, and it was a simulation of the Oregon Trail. I think we got it at a visitor center somewhere up there in Oregon, and it started out, they would give you a bunch of money, and then they'd let you go to this little store and buy what you wanted to buy. And you could decide, you know, I think I'm going to need a rifle so that I can kill some game along the way to eat, or I'm going to need some ammunition, or I'm going to need some flour, or I'm going to need this and that, and you'd buy these things, and then the journey would begin, and you'd be traveling along, and oh no, you're out of ammunition, you all starved to death, you died, and the game would kill you and you're done. Or oh no, you didn't bring enough food, or oh no, you didn't whatever, and you didn't bring enough food for your oxen, and your oxen died, and it was kind of a trick to get just what you needed to make it to the end. And I didn't like that game. I never won. My kids were good at it. I wasn't. But folks, life's not a game. The Christian walk is not a game. It's a war. It's a battle. You have an adversary, the devil. The Bible makes that very clear. And the devil knows 1,000 tricks that he can use to trip you up. He's got all sorts of devices. You know, you start listing these. Pride's one of the ones that is probably one of the worst things. If he can get you to be proud, to where you think you know more than anybody else, I know more than anybody, I know more than the pastor, I know more than the Bible, you wouldn't say that, but you'll act that way. If he can get you to do that, he's got you. In this passage, there's some things the Lord wants us to have. And let's just set the context very clearly here. He's talking to his disciples right before they're going to go to the garden, and he's going to be arrested, and he's going to be tried, and he's going to be crucified. Only hours away from that event, he is equipping his disciples, because they especially would be very susceptible to quitting. It's a miracle that none of them did, except for Judas, of course. And that's kind of fascinating that he even points out, when he mentions Judas, he wants you to understand something. There's a difference in the betrayer and other people. And this particular individual, and I didn't look it up, but he's one of the disciples who's got a name that's also Judas. And he was not a betrayer. And these men, they were going to see the Lord arrested, subjected to Roman authority, subjected to Jewish authority, and then crucified. And they came close to quitting, but every one of them seems to be stuck it out. You might wonder about Thomas and some of those, but in the book of Acts, it sounds like they're all still there. 10 years from now, if we haven't gone to be with Jesus, or if we have not had him come to get us, will you still be faithful? We'd say yes. Just like all those folks that started down that trail to Oregon said, I'm going to make it. They wouldn't have started if they hadn't have thought they were going to finish. But can you agree with me? I don't see how you can deny it. A lot of people don't make it. A lot of people drop out. A lot of people turn away. And I do not believe, and don't misunderstand, if I had to say this 50 times to make you believe me, I'd do it. You cannot lose your salvation. But I know there are, sadly are some people that never really got saved. We'll leave that for another day. Let's look at some of this. This might be useful to us. The Lord equipping his disciples. Stay with me as we go back to the beginning of chapter 14 and just touch up a couple of things here. The first thing he says in verse 14 is, let not your heart be troubled. The last thing he says in verse 27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We're going to come back to that. But when he said that in verse 1, he followed it up with this next statement. He says, believe also in me. You believe in God, believe also in me. Folks, you're not on the journey alone. When you got the bad news on the phone or the email or the surface mail or the message or whatever it was, even before you got that news, the Lord Jesus Christ knew all about it. And he could have allowed it. He could have somehow already dealt with it. But you're not alone. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. If something stops you, if you quit. I've heard 1,000 excuses. Oh, I hate to even start naming any of them. Oh, somebody will say, oh, Christians are hypocrites, or I can't get along with people at that church, or I had to work, or 100 other things I hear people say that keep them away from the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, instead of going to yourself to deal with those things, why don't you go to Christ? Amen? He starts out with that in verse 1. He goes on and he talks about who he is. You need to know that he, the Father, is in him and he's in the Father. And you need to believe that. So he wants you to know who he is. And then we come down to verse 18, jumping over a few things. For example, we saw the prayer in verse 14. And folks, if you're going to survive, you're going to have to pray. But now we're in verse 18. I need to use my time wisely because we need to get out in time for lunch. He says in verse 18, I will not, now let's just stop right there. If Jesus says, I will not, do you believe him? I will not. It just dawns on me, some Christians need to learn to say, I will not. Amen? But look what he says. I will not leave you comfortless. Comfort. We talked about that. Freedom from pain. You know, today we think about Father's Day, and there can be some pain involved. I think about the fact I can't call my dad. He's with the Lord. I'd like to talk to him. My dad got Alzheimer's in the last few years he was alive. I couldn't really talk to him then either. But one day I will. And he's already waiting for me, and he's in a better place. And now, I don't know my real father, But I know my adopted father. I'm looking forward to seeing him. I don't even know my real father, if he got saved or not. I hope he did. I may meet him too someday. But my adopted father, I'm looking forward to meeting him. He's the guy that did the job. He's the guy that was there. Stories flood your head. Can you think about all the things your father did to train you? I was riding my bike one day, and I crashed. And it was a pretty bad crash. I flew over the handlebars, and I got up. And I don't know what I was thinking, but I was mad at my bike. It couldn't be my fault. The bike must have done it, right? And I walked over to the bike, and I picked it up and threw it on the ground. Guess who was watching? My dad saw the whole thing. And he explained to me how foolish that was. And I still remember that to this day. I remember, I told you the story, it brings tears to my eyes if I'm not careful. We didn't have a lot of money. In fact, we didn't have any money. We were just almost poor. And when I was a sophomore or junior in college, I went home at Thanksgiving, and it was Thanksgiving night. I had to leave to go back to college to go to work, and I was getting ready to get in my car and drive off. And my dad reached in his pocket and emptied it. Now, my dad didn't have any money. I think he gave me $20-something. That's the most money he probably ever carried around with him. And he just reached in his pocket, and whatever he had, he gave it to me. My dad loved me. Folks, God loves you. So when you face that problem, you face that problem with a God that can take care of you. You've got to believe that. He will comfort you if you will let him. Now, the devil's talking to you right now, and here's what the devil's telling you. Well, why didn't God solve that last problem you had? And I got to ask you some questions. Did you give him a chance? In other words, did you just rush in and solve it yourself, or did you let God deal with it? You know, a lot of the times, we deal with things before we pray about them. Did you stop and pray? If you had, what do you think that would have made a difference? I think it would have. And then on top of that, sometimes God lets us go through things so he can teach us something. But just looking out, it seems like God's taking pretty good care of us, hasn't he? You got to give God a chance. Comfort comes not just from, I've got my favorite chair at home, and I've got the air conditioner running, and I've got some iced tea in the refrigerator, and I can sit back and drink iced tea and feel the fan blowing on me. And that's not the kind of comfort God's talking about. I can sit in my easy chair with the fan blowing and the iced tea in my hand and be completely miserable inside. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to trust him. Do you believe him? Then don't give up. He's going to get you through. Comfort. There's a second thing you need. You need that comfort. The second thing, look at verse 21. You're going to see a word over and over and over and over. In verse 21, he says, he it is that loveth me. He says, he that loveth me. He says in verse 23, if a man love me. He says in verse 24, he that loveth me. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you love the Lord? I think about my father, and I love my father. But you probably, if you think about it, one of the reasons you love your father is because of what he did. What he did for you. He took care of you, and he provided for you, and he was there when you needed him, and he trained you, and he gave you things. And that's good, but who's done more for you than God? Nobody. Who gave his own son, his only begotten son? And that word begotten is an important word. They leave it out of the modern versions because they don't like the word of God. But only begotten. You're a son. You and I are sons and daughters of God if we're saved. But we're not begotten. The Lord Jesus Christ was literally the child of Mary, who the Holy Ghost came upon and caused her to be with child. That's begotten. There's only one of those. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says when God saw him, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. But instead, they crucified him. And they did that because God had a plan to save you and I. He allowed that to happen. He allowed Christ to go to that cross. We know the song. He could have called, it turns out, 10,000 is an understatement. He could have called a bunch of angels if he'd have wanted to and been set free. But he died for us. Who's done more for you than that? Who else can keep you out of hell? Who else loves you as much as he does? Folks, we ought to love the Lord. Now, you need to be deliberate about this. In other words, you need to make an effort at this. Just like you need to make an effort at having the comfort that comes from trusting God, you need to make an effort to have the obedience that comes with loving God. Let me read you the verses again. It's pretty clear. He says in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He says in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. My car has a speedometer on it, and that we bought a black car in Maryland with black seats and then moved to Arizona. So one thing I do like is it's got a thermometer in the dash. It always says 120-something, but anyway, it's got a thermometer in the dash. But we've got one of those old-fashioned speedometers in that car. And the faster you go, the more it moves to one side, and the slower you go, the more it moves to the other side. And that thing tells me how fast I'm going. You know how you can tell how much you love God? By how obedient you are. Wow, it's quiet. It's true. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, Jesus said. Now, here's the trick. Someone says, oh, okay, I'll obey. I'll do what I'm supposed to, and I won't do what I'm not supposed to. Yeah, you got the cart before the horse. If you will love the Lord, then you'll be easy to obey. It's Father's Day. We love our fathers. It's easy to call Dad and talk to him if he's still around because we love him. When it comes time for your spouse's birthday or your kid's birthday, I love to give gifts to my children because I love my children. The love comes first, then comes the obedience. You need to work on loving God. You need to work on loving God more. And you can. And then it'll be easy to obey. You see the difference in a lost person and a saved person? Lost people don't even think about God. They don't want to think about God. They don't want him on their mind because he reminds them that there's right and wrong. And he reminds them that they have an obligation. And he reminds them that they're lost. You and I ought to have God on our mind all the time. And if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you pretty much will. And I'm kind of leaving that one off to the side for a minute. But let's just go there a little bit. If you love the Lord, you'll think about him. And it'll be easy to obey him. If you're having trouble obeying God, it's like I go to the doctor and the doctor says, you got to do this because you have this problem. The problem is disobedience. The do is work on loving the Lord. Start by asking yourself, have you read your Bible and met him and got to know him? And then ask yourself, do you know what he did for you? And do you appreciate that? And then it wouldn't hurt to pray and say, Lord, help me to love you more. I cannot give you a recipe for loving God, but I can tell you it's foolish not to. It's so important, in fact, that Paul at one point in his writing says, if you don't love the Lord, you are cursed. I think loving the Lord is part of being saved. Now, how much we love him, that's another question. We're almost out of time. Look with me, if you will, at verse 25. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Now, that's a clue right there. Like I told you, he's getting ready to leave physically. He's going to leave physically. He's going to be crucified, and they're not going to see him physically anymore. But he says this in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And then I need to just take you past this passage just a little bit. And we'll do that later. Let's just stay where we are. So he says in verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Father will send. Look at verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Start right there and just think about that a minute. Jesus says, you can have peace. In fact, he says, here it is. Peace. Peace is when you're undisturbed. It kind of goes along with, in fact, he equates that in verse 27 to not having a troubled heart. He says, let not your heart be troubled. We tend to get peace by looking at our circumstances. You know, if there's plenty of money and the health is good and everybody's happy with you, your family's doing okay and your car's running good and the house doesn't need to be fixed and the air conditioner's working, and we look at it like that and we say, oh, everything's going real well, I'm at peace. Well, you know the bad news about that? If that's the way you get peace, you're not going to have a lot of it. Because you're not going to have enough money. You're not always going to be healthy. The car is not going to run right. The house is going to need to be fixed. People are going to get unhappy with you. I would contend that when Jesus says in verse 26, or I'm sorry, in verse 27, when he says in verse 27, peace I leave with you, he wasn't talking about the kind of peace that comes when everything else is perfect. He's talking about the kind of peace that comes when it doesn't matter how anything else is. As far as God's concerned, you're still perfect. I come to church on Sunday morning and I got to be real careful, because I know all you folks and I pray for you folks and I know your names and I can look out really quick and I can sit here and I can say, oh, so-and-so's missing, so-and-so's missing, so-and-so's missing. And it grieves me. And it does grieve me. I hope you're here in church. And I know when you're not here in church. I notice it. But you know who's always here? The Lord Jesus Christ. And I have to ask myself really honestly, and you do too, did I come to church for you or for him? Did you come to church for me or for God? He's always going to be here. I came in this morning, and you've got to come to church looking for a blessing. And ask God for a blessing. It's a blessing to see you all here. But you know what this morning, what blessed me is I'm sitting in my office printing some things out, and I can hear all these children in the hallway. Why are those children there? Because some people went and found them. And because a bus went and picked them up. And because God brought them in so they can hear about Jesus and get saved and walk with him. Is that worth it? Say, well, brother so-and-so's not here today. I'm sorry, I don't know, but God is, and he's working, and his word's here, and we're going to keep being faithful until he comes back, even if not everybody else is, amen? Peace doesn't come, and he says it real plainly here in verse 27. He says, not as the world giveth. Now, there are lost people that have a lot of everything, and they're doing good today, and they may have some peace, but they don't have the kind of peace you and I have. Because our peace doesn't come from things and situations. It comes from God. Here's what will happen if you let the devil do it. He will come and he will throw a big rock in your pond. And the waves will go up and down. And he'll do that in some way. He'll get you, he'll cost you your job, or he'll give you the wrong job, or he'll do something to make somebody mad at you, or somebody will say something that offends you, or in your pride you'll get mad because someone said something you don't agree with, or a thousand things, and the devil will take your peace away from you, and before you know it, you'll find yourself out of church because you're not getting any peace from God. It's not that you didn't get peace from God, it's that you walked away from it. Be at peace. Let not your heart be troubled. If I said that to you, you'd say, well, that's good advice, Pastor. I think that's a good idea. But when Jesus says it to you, it's a command. And he's got the ability to take care of you so that you can obey that command. If you're not at peace, I got a verse for you, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. So be careful. That word careful means worried or full of care. So be careful for nothing, but in everything. by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And what does it go on and say after that? And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I may have paraphrased a little bit, but that word peace is there. So someone says, Pastor, I'm worried. Oh, I got a thought. If you don't have peace, you must not be praying right. You must not be trusting God. Why would someone quit walking with Jesus? Where else are you going to go and find peace? Now, I'm going to finish. It's noon. Let me just wrap this in a little package for you and give you some thoughts. If we're going to be faithful, if we're going to stay put, if we're going to make it, if we're going to be sustained until either we go to be with Him or He comes to be with us, we need comfort through His presence. That's verses 18 through 20. We need obedience through our love for Him. And it's love first, obedience follows, verses 21 to 24. We need the peace that only He can give, verses 25 to 27. And then beginning in verse 28, He begins to talk about His return. In fact, let's read a little bit of that. Look at verse 28. He says, "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now have I told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." And then He says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh," He's talking about the betrayal, "and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, He obeyed the Father by going to the cross, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." And then He says, "Arise, let us go hence." That's one of the verses God used to call me into the ministry. What does God say? Listen to this. "Arise, let us go hence." Because from here until the day that you step into eternity, who promised He'd never leave you or forsake you? The Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go hence. And what is that song, Greg? He says, "If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere." We should sing that for an invitation. Can we do that? He says, "If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere." Now, Mrs. Schaefer is going to find it so she can play it on the piano. Folks, you can make it. Now, be careful. You're going to say, "Well, somebody didn't make it. I must be better than them." Nope. Don't look at it that way. When the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to His disciples at one point in time, one of them made a comment of that nature. He's like, "What about this guy?" And Jesus says, "Don't worry about him, just worry about yourself." That's a bad paraphrase, but it's what He said. It's a full-time job to make it from here to there. And you know what happens when your brother falls? You need to pray for him. Because by God's grace, you're not the one that fell. You can make it. You need that comfort that comes from Him. You need the obedience and the love for Him. And you need the peace that He can give. And that may sound like a real simple list. Well, if you think it's simple, try doing it. Amen? But it's possible. The whole thing's wrapped up in prayer. It all comes down to faith. Folks, don't be one of those that falls out. Let's keep going. Amen? It's sort of like you run that race, and you can see the finish line up there. And you can see the people on the other side of the line, they're cheering for you. And your legs hurt, and you're tired, and you're hot, and you've been running a long time, and that acid's built up in your muscles, and you just hurt all over. And you think, "But for them, I can't quit." What did Jesus say? He says He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. And then He says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." What? Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you get ready to quit, look up at the Lord and just keep on going. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.